Hebrews 11 is often referred to as the Hall of Faith, but it's more than a list of spiritual heroes. It's a collection of stories about imperfect people who lived by faith. This chapter shows you that faith isn't about getting the life you want here on earth. It's about trusting God's promises for the future and being willing to follow Him no matter what. Even your failures and flaws are reminders that God's grace is bigger than your imperfections.
When I was growing up, summertime to my brothers and I and our family meant spending many afternoons in the main library downtown Norfolk, Virginia. Our mother would regularly drop us all off there and leave us for a few hours. I usually left the library with an armload of biographies of people who became my heroes, men like Daniel Boone, George Washington Carver, Abraham Lincoln. Those heroes of history inspired me to imitate their courage, their perseverance, their character. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Bible is an inspired book of biographies? You know, God most often teaches us principles of truths through the lives of other people. But they're people just like us. They have strengths and they have weaknesses. Sometimes they succeeded, sometimes they failed. Well, our wisdom journey now sails into the harbor of Hebrews chapter 11, and it's as if God's Spirit just sort of condenses so many biographies as possible into the shortest amount of space. But His purpose is clear. God wants to inspire us to imitate these lives of faith. Now, let me just mention the context here. Chapter 10 ends with the author expressing confidence in his Jewish Christian readers who are under tremendous pressure to compromise their faith in Christ, return back to Judaism. The author has just encouraged them with his own belief that he wrote here in verse 39, that they are not of those who shrink back, but of those who have faith. He kind of sounds like a coach yelling at his team from the sidelines, "You can do it. Keep up this race of faith." Now, the first thing we have here in chapter 11 is an explanation of faith. Verse 1 reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now, by the way, this isn't a formal definition of what faith is. This is actually a functional definition of what faith does. Faith provides a foundation for our hope. The word here for assurance can be translated confidence or substance or reality. The original Greek term is hypostasis, which literally refers to something that stands under as a supporter. So your faith is the foundation which supports your hope. Your hope rests upon your faith. And what's your hope? Well, we hope for things the Bible promises. Things like Christ's return for His church, a reunion of all the departed believers in heaven, of our eternal dwelling in the Father's house, and more. So faith gives us the confidence in God's promises. Now, the author writes here that faith also produces in us the conviction of things not seen. In other words, it is your faith that produces a certainty that invisible things actually exist. Well, have you ever seen God? Did you see Christ die on the cross for your sins? Did you see Jesus rise from the grave? Have you ever seen Satan or demons who fight in high places? No, you haven't seen any of that, but you're convinced of all these things because your faith in God and His Word produces in you that certainty. Well, verse 6 gives us a further answer. He writes, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." So in these verses, faith is defined functionally. Now, throughout the rest of this chapter, faith is going to be demonstrated biographically. This is how faith works out there in the traffic patterns of our lives. And I got to tell you, each of these people mentioned in Hebrews 11, you know, could be a lesson, an entire lesson in our wisdom journey. Well, we've covered many of them already in our journey through the Old Testament. So we're just going to take an overview approach to this chapter and point out some key descriptions of faith in action as seen in the biographies of these individuals. And here's the first description. A person of faith obeys God's word even if it means they stand alone. Verse 7 records, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. You may know his biography. For more than 120 years, Noah preached while he built the ark. But in the end, only Noah and his family were saved. That's another way of saying that nobody responded. I can't imagine preaching for 20 years with no response. Noah preached for 120 years without any so-called results. Noah did all of it by faith. Here's a second description. A person of faith endures the uncertainties of the present by focusing on God's promises for the future. Now, Abraham is our main example here when he obeyed God's call to leave his homeland. He headed out there to a distant land. I love verse 8, which says, he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of us would do that? Verse 10 tells us, though, that he was motivated by this city. He writes, he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. In other words, Abraham had been given a promise and a vision of a heavenly city that would be the Father's house. But Abraham wasn't the only one who was looking for that city. This passage mentions, as it goes on, the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Sarah. So here's the summary of their remarkable faith, verses 13 and 16. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, they desired a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I got to tell you, this passage is a way of reminding us that faith doesn't mean you get the life you always wanted on earth. Faith is believing that God will one day give you your best life in heaven. I'm afraid many Christians want so much on earth today that heaven is going to be anticlimactic. Well, with that, here's a third description of faith in action. A person of faith is willing to forfeit immediate benefits for the sake of following God's will. The writer says this in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. In other words, Moses gave up a royal palace to lead the children of Israel through a barren wilderness. Well, now here's a fourth description. A person of faith is an imperfect person with an imperfect past who submits to the perfect plan of God. Now, to make this point, the writer mentions people here at verse 31, like Rahab, Samson, Jephthah, verse 32. Rahab was a prostitute before God intervened in her life. Samson never conquered his immoral lust. Jephthah was somebody we would call today a gangster or an outlaw. But God used each one of them as they trusted God's plans for the nation Israel. Now, here's a fifth description. A person of faith refuses to excuse personal weaknesses and trusts in the power of God. He says here in verse 33, through faith they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war. All of this is another way of saying, beloved, that God often empowers weak and timid people to fulfill his powerful work. I've mentioned to you in this journey in the past how Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, once said late in his life that he was used greatly by God only because he was weak enough and small enough for God to use. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with the biographies of people who were small enough for God to use. Now, this chapter is realistic, isn't it? Here's another description of faith in action. A person of faith is willing to walk with God even when their faith creates suffering and pain and loss in life. Verse 36 tells us, "But others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy." Imagine that. Beloved, I can guarantee you that when we meet these people in eternity, we're not going to hear any words of regret from them. They'll be thrilled to have served God in the way God designed their race of faith to unfold. What's important is for you and me today, as we live on earth, to live for what matters most in heaven. Let's demonstrate faith and trust in the power and plan of God, no matter what unfolds for us on earth, according to the plan of God. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today you've seen a glimpse of faith that endures, even through suffering and weakness. Be encouraged by these imperfect people who walked by faith. Today's lesson was a high-level overview of this chapter, but Stephen has an entire book based on Hebrews 11. In it, he goes verse by verse through all of the heroes found in this chapter. It's an inspiring and encouraging resource, and I encourage you to get it today. In fact, it's available today at a deeply discounted rate. For information on how you can get Stephen's book called Hebrews 11, call 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. You'll also find it in our online store at wisdomonline.org. Don't miss out on this opportunity. You'll be glad to have this book in your library of biblical resources. Call today, then join us next time to continue your wisdom journey.